First of all, thank you for coming here. I repeat, first of all, thank you for coming. Can I be heard?
Can you hear Father Hector?
No?
Okay.
Okay.
Well, then we'll work on it a little bit more.
Can I be heard now? First of all, I repeat, thank you for coming here. With God's grace, we will obtain the grace we need to cooperate with God's will. That's all that matters in life. Everything else is a dream. We are together for less than 2 full days. Complete our retreat Tuesday afternoon. First, some recommendations. I'd like to have everyone go to confession, receive absolution. Secondly, be wise to keep some notes, not necessarily on what I say, or the Lord inspires you to put on paper, remembering for the future. And finally, trust God absolutely. We would not be human if we did not have problems or difficulties. But God sends us trials and difficulties to evoke our complete trust in His providence. And as you know, we have only altogether 9 conferences during this retreat. The last one at 1:15 on Tuesday afternoon. Retreats, however, though they are made, in this case for less than 2 full days, God gives extraordinary graces in the retreat. And the secret is to have a totally, thoroughly, completely open heart, open to His will. Nothing else in life matters. Nothing. Except be open to the will of God. What I'd like to speak on this evening is the providence of God. First, we ask ourselves, what is divine providence? God did not leave the world and then leave the world to take care of itself. No. God is present in everything in our lives. Every word we hear, every thought we have, somehow is either permitted by God to be suffered and endured, or cooperate with God's will as taught by the Church, a defined doctrine of the First Vatican Council. It reads, by His providence, God watches over and governs all the things that He made, reaching from end to end with might, disposing all things with gentleness. For all things are naked and open to His eyes. If those things are going to occur by the free intentions of creatures. This is the definition of God's providence in the First Vatican Council. What is God telling us? He is telling us that He's watching over everything. And what is everything? We never have a stray thought. We might say people make a mistake. Or they may make a mistake. But God allows that mistake to occur. God watches over everything, reaching from end to end. And God's purpose is to have us resign ourselves, be open to His will. If things are hard and difficult, to endure them. If they are pleasant, to thank Him for giving them to us. And this means God's providence also includes all the things that we are to choose to do. Providence is unintelligible as we include our free will. We go on. What is this providence a witness to? In sacred scripture, to be exact, in Christ's teaching in Matthew, chapter 6, verses 25 to 34. Although the fact of divine providence could be dimly seen by the unaided reason, it takes faith, deep, deep faith, to see God in everything in our lives. In the Old Testament, the 150 Psalms are 150 expressions of divine providence. Read them during the retreat. In the New Testament, Christ was constantly teaching those who were to be His followers not to worry, not to be anxious about anything. Why? Because God is providing, as the providence means, as providing for all our needs. Christ's most extensive teaching on divine providence occurs in His Sermon on the Mount. To be exact, in Matthew chapter 6, verses 25 through 34. What is God telling us there? He is telling us that He is behind, beneath everything that enters our lives. No person ever enters our life by chance. We make mistakes. God never does. We are to see God's hand in everything in our lives. And the secret, I'll repeat the secret, is to see God in every person whom we meet. See God in everything that we read. Maybe God's will, then we turn the page, or close the book and stop reading. Or it may be God wants us to reflect what we've just read. The things that, as we casually say, happen in our lives never really happen. Each one is a grace from God. And we must first of all have the faith to see God's will, I repeat, in every person who speaks to us. And everything that we hear, everything that we see, but then God wants us to use our minds. We are to distinguish between the things, as we currently say, that happen in our lives, that He wants us to enjoy. All the things that God, behind every event in our lives, what He wants us to endure. And this is the secret of not only surviving in this world, it is the secret of becoming holy and becoming saints. I never tire repeating every retreat that I've given in the last 49 years. Nothing ever happens in our lives. Nothing. Everything is sent us by God. What we need especially is to see God's will in what we are to choose. That's why we have a free will. There is such a thing as choosing. The clothes we wear, our state of health, whether it is good or bad. We are to thank God for what we enjoy, but be sure that what you enjoy is the will of God. 5 times in 10 verses, twice warns the people, which means all of us, not to be anxious about anything in this world. There's one decision we should make in this retreat, not to worry. Everything, what is everything in our lives, comes from God. Our only concern should be to do the will of God. We are, of course, to use our minds. Is a pleasant experience we enjoy a grace from God? If it is, enjoy it. Is the present experience you have painful? Is that pain from God? If it is, strange statement and enjoy it. I mean that with all my heart. Our only concern in life should be to do the will of God in Christ's words, to seek the kingdom of God. And provided we trust what we are convinced is God's will, and how painful it may be, God will see us through. However, the purpose of retreat is to carefully distinguish between what we like, what God wants. Because God is all wise. He will send us experiences that are painful. Does God want us? I repeat, does He want us? Not merely I accept, but shall I say it? To enjoy, I mean it, to enjoy the painful things in life. Yes. The secret is to identify with our minds whether the experience, whether painful or pleasant, is from God. Then I can assure you, it is not simple or easy to do. That is why, and I mean this as we begin the retreat, we should live always in the presence of God. Never just think about something. Think about it indeed, but think about it in God's presence. That is why we have 9 meditations to go through this one. Let me tell you, everything in our lives, everything, is sent us by God. May be pleasant. Well, that's why we have a mind to distinguish what is pleasant to us, but not pleasing to God. What do we do with that pleasant thought or pleasant person? Put that thought or person out of our lives. If contrarily, that pleasant thought or experience is according to God's will, then we thank Him, we act on the inspiration that we receive. Then, my friends, I know what I'm talking about. We must be constantly, I'm not exaggerating that adverb, constantly living in the presence of God. Why? To be able to distinguish on the pleasant experience which we have, which are from God, which are contrary to the will of God, and the unpleasant, what unpleasant experiences are from God. That's why we must think, or repeat, think. Well, that's the imperative of the verb, think, in God's presence. Keep asking Him, I'm not exaggerating, all day, Lord, this thought is pleasant. Is it pleasing to You? If it is, act on the inspiration you receive. Is not from God, and how pleasant the person, place, or thing may be, get rid of it. That's what our life here on earth is all about. to constantly distinguish among the experience that we have which ones are from God and which ones are contrary to the will of God. Our only concern should be, only one concern we should have in life, to do everything that God wants us to do. If it's pleasant, spontaneously we thank Him. If it's unpleasant, but our conscience tells us we should do it, do it. And the secret of living a holy life is to keep reflecting on the experiences you have. Is this experience pleasing to God? Very pleasing to me. Not pleasing to God? Get out of your mind. If it is pleasing to God, let me tell you, God is very kind, very generous. He will give us many thoughts which He wants us to act on. I repeat, we must be constantly aware. As long as we are awake and our conscience is open, we must pass judgment on everything that we experience during the day. Just because it is pleasant does not mean that we enjoy it. Just because it is unpleasant does not mean we automatically and spontaneously get rid of it. That is why the first and most important thing in a spiritual life is to keep our minds alert, awake. As much as you can during the day, talk to our Lord, ask Him, is this your will? If it is, and the experience is pleasant, thank Him. If the experience is pleasant, but not pleasing to God, get rid of it. This is where Christianity differs so radically from the philosophy of this world. Now, we are to first pass judgment on everything that we experience during a waking day. In other words, we ought to reflect on every experience we have while we are awake. Wake up during the night. Immediately, shall I say it? Adjust your conscience to what you experience. God sends us pleasant experiences. He sends us unpleasant ones. And the secret is not to act on everything which is pleasant, not to react and remove everything which is unpleasant. That's what a retreat is all about. Examine our experience. Keep awake with your conscience every day and all day. Is this thought pleasing to God? If it is, enjoy it. The thought, the conscience tells you, is contrary to God's will, then how pleasant it may be, He had rid of it. Let me tell you. I've been a priest now for 47 years. I will add 5 years to what? 47. Nothing in our lives ever happens. Nothing ever happens. Everything, every thought we have, every person we meet, every experience we have, comes from God. It is meant either to be accepted, have its painful, endured, or no matter how pleasant it may be, and the experience is not from God, get rid of it. And let me tell you this, as we begin our retreat, whatever else you do, whatever decision you make during these 2 full days of the retreat, I beg you to keep asking yourself every day whether the experiences you have had were all pleasing to God. That is why, in the opening conference of the retreat, I beg you to daily, I mean daily, examine your conscience. We'll ask our Lord to keep you from falling asleep at night until you've examined your conscience. God will send us things He wants us to cooperate with, to do, otherwise known as divine grace. But God will also send us things that may be very pleasant, but not pleasing to God. And there, the sooner we react and remove the thought, the desire, the person, the newspaper, whatever it is, from our experience, the better. When I see people reading the daily paper 1 hour, 2 hours a day, so I believe from cover to cover, I see a short prayer that God may wake that person up. Whatever you do before this retreat is over, decide in the presence of God what experiences God wants you to enjoy, to accept, which experience He wants you to remove, that how pleasant they may be. All temptations are attractive. Oh, how we need this. That's why we need a retreat. Make an inventory of our thoughts and desires. Because it is God's will that how pleasant the thought or desire may be to us. My conscience tells me our reflection is not God's will. I remove not just the thought, but the reading that I'm doing that creates those thoughts. I remove those persons from my life. May be very pleasant, but occasions of sin for me. how we need to be wide awake spiritually. What is the key to living our faith in God's providence? There are two parts to the answer. We must be sincerely detached. And I mean detached from the things of this world. We have to sleep. We have to eat. We have to talk. But what a difference between the thoughts and the desires and the experiences which are according to the will of God, which are contrary to God's will. I tell you, we cannot too often or too carefully examine our consciences and ask ourselves, what in my day, what right now is very pleasant indeed, but leads me into sin. I'm to get rid of it. Contrarily, there are experiences we all have which may not be all that pleasant, but they are part of God's will in my life. Whatever you do during this retreat, I'm begging you to examine your consciences and what persons, places, and things in your day are from God and which are contrary to His divine will. We must be internally free from the tyranny of our natural desires and fears. That sentence should be memorized. We must be internally free in our wills. The tyranny, that's what it is, our natural desires and fears. So many things we naturally like. In God's name, examine your conscience. Are these things which you like God's will? They are, enjoy them. If they're not God's will, get rid of them. And how pleasant or enjoyable they may be. That is why, opening conference of the retreat, I strongly recommend that we examine our conscience every day before we retire for the evening. Look at our conscience. What has God sent me during the day? Have the pleasant things been given into, but were they not according to God's will? Were the painful experiences that I had, did I get rid of them? As it was God's will that I endure them? I cannot tell you how important is pain in the spiritual life. You need pain, I need pain. Just because something is unpleasant or painful does not mean that I spontaneously get rid of it. Or conversely, just because something is pleasant does not automatically mean it is God's will I cannot exaggerate, though I spoke for the next 30 days on just this subject, I cannot exaggerate the importance of examining our consciences at least in the evening before we retire. Our hearts must be open to do the will of God. We must be, and I use this word deliberately, internally free, down deep in our wills, from the tyranny of our natural desires and fears. Oh, how much I've learned in my more than half a century of priestly experience. We need to daily examine our consciences and ask ourselves before God, what fears were from God? What fears were spontaneous fears of my own person? What pleasant things in my life? Just because it's pleasant, that I spontaneously enjoy it? We repeat. God sends us both pleasant and unpleasant experiences. As human beings, we naturally, shall I add again, spontaneously, we move, as the expression goes, get rid of things that are unpleasant. Or conversely, do we spontaneously enjoy what is pleasant? How this needs to be said. As long as we're still alive in this world, we have both inspirations from God and temptations from the devil, our full human fallen nature. This is the definition of the church. By His providence, God watches over and directs all the things that He made, reaching from end to end and disposing all things with gentleness. Because all things are naked and open to His eyes. In those things that are going to occur by the free action of creatures. Hear it. Nothing ever happens in our lives. The word is nothing. Whatever we experience is always. I spell that word in two words. All A-double-L ways from God. We must think during the day and ask ourselves, is the experience I'm having pleasant? It surely is from God. I repeat, just because an experience is pleasant does not mean it is good and should be given into. Just because an experience is painful or unpleasant doesn't mean we are to get rid of all our painful experiences. No. I mean this. We should constantly live in the presence of God and ask Him is this experience which I enjoy, is it from God? Or conversely, is the experience that I have which is very painful, is it from God? Are we at peace? Whether what we experience is pleasant or unpleasant has nothing, zero to do with the will of God. The key word is whether the experience, whether pleasant or unpleasant, is from God. And I wouldn't be here this evening speaking to you if in the years of my priesthood I had not, with God's grace, learn two important lessons. First of all, many unpleasant experiences are from God. That's what the virtue of patience is all about. Experiencing what is unpleasant and not spontaneously getting rid of it or conversely the experience that I have pleasant and let me tell you whatever is from God is always pleasant. But let me make sure I explain. Everything which is from God should be pleasing to our wills. And unpleasant may be to our bodies. And the secret is never to discard or get rid of what is painful or unpleasant in my life. If I follow that idea, I would not be here this evening. God sends us not a few things that are unpleasant. The secret, this is my main reason I'm giving this meditation. The secret is to daily, at least every evening, examine your conscience. I have achieved nothing else as the fruit of this retreat than that you daily examine your conscience over the things that occur during the day. What do you do about the unpleasant things? Did you spontaneously get rid of them? All the pleasant things, you spontaneously accept them and enjoy them? The key is to use our minds. That's what the examination of conscience should be. I beg you to daily, I mean this literally, daily examine your conscience. And the examination should touch on both the pleasant and the unpleasant experience you've had during the day. You always give in to enjoy what is pleasant, or conversely, did you immediately get rid of, turn away from what was unpleasant? and those unpleasant experiences, let me tell you, include human beings. What am I saying? I am saying that part of our life in this valley of tears is to suffer, to endure what, naturally speaking, we don't like. Our conscience, it means our minds should always be open. Always. That term is spelled both A-L-W-A-Y-S and A-L-L, next word, W-A-Y-S. The secret is not to spontaneously I repeat, we are to daily, literally, daily examine our conscience and ask yourself what unpleasant things that occur during the day that I spontaneously get rid of. Not first asking myself, an unpleasant experience, a grace from God, or not. And I mean this with all my heart, to not only not become holy, not even save our souls, unless we know and live up to God's providence in sending us painful people, painful experiences. It's from God also to send us pleasant persons, experiences. And the key is not in the experience. The key is in the mind, enlightened by faith. Is this pleasant experience from God? If it is, I will enjoy it. Is the unpleasant experience also from God? Shall I say it? Enjoy it. And that, by the way, one of my favorite divisions or favorite definition of a holy person. A holy person is one who enjoys what is naturally unpleasant in life. I am currently writing a biography of Mother Teresa. And last night, I wrote about the unpleasant experiences in her life. There were many and deep. With God's grace, she tried never to get rid of them. By His providence, God watches over and governs all the things that He made, reaching from end to end, from the most pleasant to the most unpleasant experience of our lives. All the things in our life, whether pleasant or unpleasant, are open to our free wills. And that is the condition of our reaching heaven. To reach heaven only if we patiently, shall use the verb, endure what is unpleasant, and even thank God or the unpleasant experience. And conversely, and how pleasant a person, a place, an experience may be, our conscience must pass judgment. What we are experiencing, and I'm not speaking, I know, to consecrated religious, but I tell you, never, I don't say, become saints. Never even reach heaven if we consciously and deliberately remove from our lives what is unpleasant or the opposite. Consciously and deliberately remove from our lives what is unpleasant. Oh, what am I saying? At the beginning of this retreat, that's why I'm talking on this subject. I beg you to examine your consciences, do some writing, and plan your next year. What pleasant things that I have in my life does God want me to enjoy? What unpleasant things God does not want me to get rid of? I mentioned earlier, for many people, the married especially, the hardest part of their lives is, to be honest with you and open, is their married partner. The world in which we're living says only one thing: get rid of him or her. Well, that is not the answer. With God's grace, I repeat, we should daily examine our consciences and ask ourselves, what pleasant things in my daily experience were from God He wanted me to enjoy? What unpleasant things were also from God that He wanted me to endure? Those two verbs are crucial in a spiritual life: to enjoy and to endure. Dear Lord, we beg you to teach us. Teach us not to spontaneously and immediately remove from our lives what is unpleasant. Because your will, dear Lord, includes both the pleasant and the unpleasant persons, places, and circumstances of our lives. That is why we must, I beg you, to get into the habit of daily, I mean that, daily examining your conscience. Have yourself before God. What you've experienced during the day that God wants you to endure. What God wants you to enjoy. Among the things that He wants you to endure may be unpleasant persons. He wants you to enjoy maybe, shall I say it, the cross. The sweetest experience on earth for a person who has a deep faith is to endure what is painful and thank God for the experience. Lord Jesus, And we begin this retreat, we beg you to open our minds to see what in our lives is pleasing to you, what in our lives is displeasing to you, and then, with your grace, dear Lord, to reshape our lives, remove what may be very pleasant to us, what is pleasing to God, and conversely, enjoy what God wants to enjoy. A retreat should change our lives. My prayer for all of you, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen.